Hello and welcome to Marketing in the Raw. That is the podcast, and I am the host, Adam Pelway. It's my goal to expand how you define the practice of marketing and your vision of where it's headed, especially in a digitally connected world. Zenya Motien is the CEO and founder of Planable, a content review collaboration platform used by over 5,000 teams at brands like Jaguar, Land Rover, Viber, Siemens, and the United Nations. For the past 4 years, she's been working with hundreds of content marketing teams to help them coordinate their efforts from across the room or across the globe. And now she's condensed what she's learned into her book called The Manifesto on Content Marketing Teams, where she's outlined how effective content marketing teams can produce great content. I'm excited to talk to her, so let's talk to Zenya now. Hello, Zenya. I am so glad that you're able to join me on Marketing in the Raw today. This is my first time having a chance to sit down and talk with you. Where am I? We're in a remote working world these days where people are traveling and you never know where folks are. Where in the world am I talking to you from today?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show, Adam. I am currently in Bucharest, Romania. That's Eastern Europe. So there's a bit of a time difference between the two of us, I guess.
That's great. Well, I appreciate you joining me, as I said. And I want to dive right in because, you've had a variety of experience in PR. You founded an agency at one point, and now you're the co-founder and CEO of a content marketing software company called Planable. Like, let's go back in time a little bit and tell me what inspired you to get into marketing in the first place.
Yeah, of course. I think I was passionate about marketing and advertising since I was a teenager, since I can remember myself. And it all started with just my passion for writing and reading. And afterwards, in high school, my passion for mathematics and data and analytics, but also the creativity part. I really loved design and still do love design. So it all added up towards passion for marketing and advertising. And I studied mass communications and PR. And I was always dreaming about sometimes working in some very cool and very hip advertising agency. That was my big dream. And I actually got the amazing opportunity of starting my own agency when I was in my second year of university. And with that agency, I learned so much, just by doing work for clients and working with clients. I learned so much about the industry, not just about the work, the tactics, the trends, but also about everything that happens behind marketing, behind the scenes of marketing. And that led me ultimately to building Planable as well, so I can help marketers and marketing teams be more productive and work better together as teams.
So I've heard a few clues in there already around my next question, and you've also started to give a little bit of spoilers about our topic of the day here. But you now focus on things related to content marketing, and we'll talk about that even more directly. But what is it about content marketing specifically that gets you excited, considering your background working in, like you said, there was the writing and the data and analytics and the communication side. But right now you've sort of dove into content marketing specifically. Is there something about that space that excites you?
Yes. I think what excites me the most about marketing is the fact that it's a softer and more meaningful way of doing marketing. And it really goes back to the very, very human and social part, the very human and social nature of marketing itself. With content marketing, you can provide value and information and just something meaningful to your audience and to your users and to everyone that is, you know, following your brand. And that can in time lead to building your own brand, to building your brand as a thought leader. And in time, that can make that audience pay more attention to your brand and to your product and to your services. But it's a softer way of getting through the door, basically, as compared to advertising, you know, traditional paid ads. And I feel like it's softer and more strategical, and just more meaningful and more long-term in a way, because that type of relationship that you get to build through content marketing with your audience is very, very different from what you can build through paid ads and media buying. It's just very different because it's you know, a relationship that you can't take it away as easily as when you have to stop your, you know, paid ads budget. You might lose that audience as compared to content marketing, which is, you know, you invest in it and it's something long term.
You're building, you're trying to build a relationship based on trust, obviously, and sharing knowledge, which definitely is different than simply having, you know, some display advertising or relying on those ads to drive everything. Obviously, when there's a nice mix of the two, especially when you utilize paid channels for amplification of content, because of unfortunately the reach problem we all have on our networks, the more content there is, the less reach our content has, even for audiences that have explicitly said they wanted to follow you. But I agree with you. It's a better way of serving the customer that you're working with, and along with building that relationship built on trust, as especially predominantly if you give a good content, right? And how do you define? How would you define? Do you feel folks are still having a problem with producing great content, or are there problems in content marketing really lying elsewhere in sort of the chain of experiences in delivering that content to their customers?
I think there's problems on both fronts, on the production of the content itself and, you know, building meaningful and strategical content. I think there's still, you know, lots and lots of brands and marketers that are still struggling to do that. We ourselves at Planable have been on a path of figuring this out for a long time. And I think the best way of approaching this production of content is just by figuring out what are the questions that users or the audience have around that are, you know, relevant to your brand. And trying to answer it in a very meaningful or entertaining or very informative way, because there's different types of content that you can produce, not just educational content, but also entertaining content and so on, inspirational content and so on. So it's really about what are the needs and the questions. So you need to produce content really with the customer in mind. That's, you know, very much a no-brainer. And then in terms of the actual production chain, there's a bunch of, you know, there's still a lot of room for improvement, obviously. And that makes a lot of sense because content marketing is just such a new thing and such a new part of the marketing mix. And I don't think we really got the chance or the opportunity or the time really to build an operational system to support the production of content within marketing teams. So I think there's a lot of things that we could improve in terms of being more productive for content teams.
Let's dig into that a little bit. You wrote a book called The Manifesto on Content Marketing Teams. And I would assume that some of that comes from your experience with your agency. Assuming that's correct, when did you realize that you and your team weren't the only ones facing some of the challenges that ultimately then you decided to share by outlining in your book?
Yeah. So the specific issues, I want to dive a bit deeper into the specific issues that I was struggling with back in my agency days. We were mostly producing content for social. So lots and lots of content and lots of editorial calendars that we were building for our clients. And that was the main, you know, bread and butter of our agency. And the biggest struggle that we were having back then was the entire collaboration and planning perspective. Putting aside the fact that we had to work with clients and we had to get approvals and feedback from them, we also had to get, you know, feedback internally. We had to collaborate between each other with our designers, with our account management teams and so on. And just coordinating the production of that content was really messy. And we were using, as many, many other teams use today, we were using a combination of spreadsheets and Google Docs and email to communicate on that content, to discuss that content, spreadsheets to plan it, PowerPoints or Google Docs to present it within the team or to clients. So a lot of tools, and as you can imagine, you know, between those tools, there were a lot of cracks where a lot of time was getting lost and a lot of energy and a lot of creativity was, you know, being wasted on formatting spreadsheets and, you know, keeping decks pretty, which is not what we wanted to do. So I felt like the process was quite fragmented and a bit outdated, to be honest, because we were building, you know, this gorgeous, you know, moving graphic content that really looked well. And we were kind of trying to make it fit in cells and, you know, basically in spreadsheet cells. And that's not, you know, the best environment to visualize, to produce, to plan, or to present work for, in, you know, content marketing work. So I felt like one, time was being wasted, lots of misalignments and miscommunications in the team, but also with the clients, because there was no clear overview. Miscommunications because, you know, the content wasn't visual enough, so people had to imagine what it's going to look like in the end. That's a big, big problem with content nowadays. You don't have a way of actually seeing how your content is going to look like in the end. So a bunch of problems are all alignment, clarity, and efficiency. And I tried to solve them with, you know, some other tools, and I realized that it seems like this is not just a problem that I was facing, but many other agencies. And in the past 4 years, we started with social in mind. And we are now empowering a lot of social media teams to speed up the way they work. And then we realized that this problem is actually, you know, this collaboration and efficiency problem is not just a problem that social media teams are facing, but also overall content marketing teams. And that's how we ended here, and how we ended writing that book.
I'm sure as folks are listening to you, they're feeling this little itch behind their ear, or they're twitching a little bit, because they can relate to all the things that you were just we're just talking about there. Like, it's like as if she's spying on me and watching what's going on with my team. you talk about so as they're applicable to like content marketing teams, which areas do you see the most challenges occur, people or processes?
That's a good one. I think processes are a big, big thing, but, you know, they come from, they definitely come from people and the structure of teams. And I think those two, people and processes, are so linked together that it's really hard to treat them separately. But I would really focus on processes. You know, the mentality is there, and if people want to solve, you know, the processes and want to improve productivity, really focus on the processes part, because there's so much you can do there.
Could you give me an idea of where in processes that folks may most commonly are overlooking, and where there may be kind of an easy fix?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's really hard to find easy fixes for general problems, because what I noticed in the past 4 years of working with customers in this segment is that every team has very, very different ways of working. Generally, they look the same, but very different small, you know, problems. One common problem that I've seen quite a lot is the fact that people use a lot of tools for, you know, planning and working and managing content overall. They use, you know, as I mentioned, spreadsheets, PowerPoints, then they might use something like Dropbox or Google Drive to store their files. So content is hosted and managed in multiple tools, which is never a good idea because your work gets interrupted, your flow gets interrupted.
But also something that you're noting is that all of those tools are also very general tools. They're not necessarily built specifically for the job. You can, of course, use them for the job, but they're not being used. They're not built specifically for this particular process.
They're not designed for content marketing teams in mind. They're just designed for, you know, general business users, but not with content marketers in mind. And that makes it, you know, more difficult.
And so what role does technology play in this? I mean, we just alluded to it. I mean, when we talk about tools, we're almost always talking about technology these days. It's sort of prevalent in all of marketing. Yeah. So what role does technology play in improving the state of the processes and the overall operational element of content marketing?
I think it's extremely crucial, but it's not the only thing. Like, you can't fix an operational problem just with technology. You need alignment between people outside, you know, offline, outside of the technology. You need people to agree on a certain way of working, on a certain process, on a certain workflow, you know, on who needs to be involved, who are the stakeholders that need to be part, how approvals are going to work, if you need approvals, how to give feedback, on what needs to be, you know, what kind of feedback do we need on content, what kind of feedback we don't need on content. So all of those things happen outside of the technology. The technology is just there to facilitate everything. So once you have a good framework for building, producing content, you know, technology can be really amazing for that. But at the same time, if you don't have all of those things, and if you're like scrambling for them, if it's still, you know, very confusing, chaotic, if you don't have, you know, all those things settled, technology might not save you, might not be enough. So it really starts with you as a team to figure out how you want to work, how your ideal productive team would look like. What are the bottlenecks at the moment that you're facing? Like, where, you know, where is time? You know, why are approvals taking so much time? Why is feedback taking so much time? Uncovering all those problems, and then technology can, you know, be there to make everything more streamlined and seamless, but it can't solve it on its own.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to hammer a nail and you have a screwdriver, it doesn't work, right? You've got that tool, and technically they're kind of both used for similar things, but that's not the pure purpose. So knowing what it is that you need to get done, in my experience, I agree with you. I mean, we have sometimes clients that are different. They're just different clients. They have different needs. They have different makeups for the teams. They have different people within the organization that are sources of information and the you know, subject matter experts. Some of them have folks internally that actually can produce content. Some need to rely more heavily on us to package that content and extract it and do all the things to take the knowledge out of those experts' you know, minds and turn it into something. And you have to sort of map that out and understand that on a case-by-case basis to then decide what that process will be. And just like you said, fill those gaps in with whatever the appropriate tools are in order to automate the process or just make it easier to collaborate or, you know, speed things up or whatever the case may be.
Right.
So what's the biggest thing that businesses have to lose by having inefficient content marketing teams?
There's a lot. Time, obviously, that's the most obvious one. But besides time, also opportunities. Because, you know, the marketing industry is very fast moving, probably one of the most dynamic ones. So if your team is not agile, if your team doesn't work in an efficient way, you're going to lose some opportunities at some point in time, either real time marketing opportunities or just generally, you know, opportunities of enhancing your brand. So that's one of them, together with time, but also on more on the people side, you know, burnout, that's a real thing in the marketing industry, and especially in the agency world. So, you know, just overworking your team, you know, killing their creativity by having them do a lot of tedious work, a lot of boring, you know, kind of like on the edge of bureaucratic type of work. That's you know, quite a big risk. And then one more risk that I'm thinking about is just brand cohesion, brand unity. Because if your team is not efficient and everyone isn't seeing the, you know, if everyone doesn't have a source of truth for your content, a place where everyone can see how content looks like, if there's no clear approvals in place, or if there's no feedback that is given, you know, between teammates, you risk of sending different confusing messages to your audience that doesn't look like it's one single brand.
You lose the opportunity to be mindful as a team, yeah. Right? You're worried about hitting that publish button maybe a little too quickly, rather than having the time to really think thoughtfully about what it is you're publishing.
Exactly. And there's also, you know, something to say about diversity of opinion, you know, including more people who need to be included in the process, not, you know, not over including, obviously, but, you know, having more people take a look at what's, you know, about to be published. I think so many PR fails, PR crises might have been avoided just, you know, if more people would have taken a look, really have taken a look at what's about to be published.
In your experience, in terms of sort of low-hanging fruit or quick wins, what challenges are businesses often overlooking that if they just addressed that? Like, there's a lot of different things that they could address, but if they just addressed this one thing first, it might be that first domino that would have the biggest impact or a significant impact on what their content marketing teams can accomplish.
I think just a big win would be to just start a conversation about this. That's the smallest thing you can do. Just have a conversation with your team and put everything on the table to discuss what are the issues and, you know, what are the things people are struggling with. I think that could, you know, take half an hour, 45 minutes, but it could really lead to some, you know, important insights. And I think you'd be surprised how little, you know, people are talking about this. It's just not a sexy subject, especially for marketers. It's not a very interesting subject to talk about operations and processes, but if we really sit down and look at it, we might uncover something interesting. And the solutions, they're just going to come, you know, once you know the problems, the solutions are going to be pretty obvious.
I love that. That's actually, that's spot on, and it's such an easy thing to do, right? It's a catalyst for everything else that you're talking about. Can you share one example of a content marketing team that overcame a challenge by focusing on rethinking how they work together? Like, what did they do and what did they ultimately accomplish that, if you're even aware of it, that they may have had a challenge accomplishing had they not rethought things?
Yeah, so I'm thinking about one of our customers, not gonna name them, but one of our customers in the tech and telecommunication space. The central marketing team was working with a lot of, you know, regional teams across different countries, and just making sure that the brand is, that everything is communication is on brand across different countries is extremely, extremely difficult to do, you know, with multiple teams. So I think the fact that they, you know, kind of brought together all those teams and they tried to break the isolation and build bridges between those teams, obviously by using Planable because they're one of our customers. But the fact that they looked at the problem and realized that, okay, seems like our brand is not very cohesive across countries and across regions. We need to do something about this. They brought everyone on Planable, and they had enough overview across what's happening on every channel, as compared to what they were doing before, you know, just, you know, lots of Google Docs and lots of emails and a lot of, you know, lack of clarity and a lot of confusion. So I think that's one specific problem, you know, managing regional teams and ensuring that the brand is cohesive across all those regions.
So it's really simply bringing everybody on the same page.
Bringing everyone on the same page in a very smart and united way.
What of the challenges that that you've seen and you outline in the book and so on, what are those challenges you feel are universal, and which of those seem to be really unique to content marketing teams?
So we're actually talking about, we have a very scary term that we're using in the book, and we call it content paralysis. but we also have another term, which we call it content debt, operational debt. And that refers to the fact that the more your team grows and the more your company grows, the more debt in terms of operational and processes you're going to accumulate. So you start small and it seems like it's very manageable, right? Like you don't need to focus on processes. It works, right? And then your team scales, your content scales, your brand grows, you have, you know, more people on the team, and it becomes harder and harder and harder. And that is something actually quite common in other industries. It's a term that we took from the engineering world, which the term is called technical debt. And that's something common. You try and, you know, you build a product and you build it scrappy, you build it fast. It just needs to work. It doesn't need to be, you know, perfect behind the hood. And then, you know, the product grows, your user base grows, and at some point in time, you realize that it's going to break. It's not sustainable. That same thing happens, you know, in the content world, where, you know, it works until it doesn't, until you can't, you know, you can't scale it.
If you were to create a content marketing dream team, you just had this, it was the first time you did it. What, let's think of people, let's think of teams specifically. Who would be the first four people? What would be their role and responsibility that you would bring on board?
If I would have to build a small team,
yeah,
from the beginning, I would just hire jacks of all trades, really generalists. That's what we did at Planwell. I think that was a very, very good idea. And then in time, you realize that those generalists, they start to specialize. And we probably got lucky. They started to specialize in different parts of the marketing marketing mix. And it kind of, you know, it made sense. But I think in the beginning, when your team is very small and you're trying to build a content marketing team, if, you know, besides the designers and those, you know, other specialized video producers and all of that, that, you know, they can't really be generalists for marketers specifically, I would start with, you know, people that can write, people that can do a little bit of SEO, people that can do a little bit of performance, because resources are probably tight with small teams. And then, you know, once the team grows, you can afford to hire specialists.
I love that, because I think I agree with you. Obviously, there's, when we talk about generalists or jack of all trades, there's still specific skills that you're looking for in the jack of all trades, but you're looking for that obviously, yes, can handle a handful of things, because things are usually a little, I'm not going to say messy at first, but you're not afforded the liberty of having one person specifically that does just this, when content manifests itself into so many different mediums, and the way that you, because what you're addressing is not just even the production of content, but also the distribution of content needs to be addressed as well, right?
Yes. 100%. And also, you just don't know what's going to work. And in that early phase, you don't know. It's a lot of experimenting, and you don't know exactly what formats of content, what channels are going to work. So you can't afford to hire, you know, a Facebook marketing specialist. Because you don't know, you know, if Facebook is going to be the channel, or you can't afford to hire someone specifically for emails and newsletters. because you're still experimenting in that phase. So that's where you need generalists.
What, sort of looking forward to the future, what are you most excited about? It could be the advent of a tool. It could be a new format, or what I might consider, a new canvas for creating content through content marketing, having experiences and connecting with customers through content. What do you see coming down the pipe that is most exciting to you? You wish you had the ability to see a few years into the future and check out how it manifests itself.
What excites me quite a lot is this increase in content studios that I see within, bigger companies. More and more companies are building this small, very dedicated content producing teams, basically almost like a small agency, a few people that serve other departments of the company with, building content, their PR teams, but also their product teams, HR, all of those departments can work with that content studios. And I love that model. I think it's quite a good one. And I'd love to see, I'd love to get a sneak peek into how that would evolve in the future. I think this is a very exciting topic that is happening nowadays.
Is there any particular format or channel that you just personally love getting your own personal content out with?
For me personally, I'm a big fan of Instagram. That's where I spend most of my time, and more on Pinterest nowadays, to be honest. I feel like I'm starting to enjoy Pinterest more and more just because it's, as a social media, it's such a, I don't know, it's such a neutral, considering the ethical implications and all of that, it's such a neutral network, and it gives me a bit of peace to be on Pinterest.
Pinterest is your quiet place. It's
yes.
Well,
I agree.
That's awesome. And so we talked about Plannable a little bit, obviously, folks can go and check out Plannable.io, but where can they connect with you and learn more about what you're up to, check out your book and other things that you have going on?
Yeah, I would love to connect with you all on LinkedIn. That's where I hang out the most professionally. So find me on LinkedIn, send me a connection request, and let me know you heard me on this podcast. And I would very much love to chat with you.
Well, yes, please let her know that you heard her on this podcast. That would be awesome. and I know you have a podcast as well, and you're talking to some great folks. I saw a lot of the individuals that were on some of your recent episodes. Can you talk just quickly about a couple of those folks? I saw, I think it was social media at Red Bull, maybe somebody at a different position, and you've had a handful of other great folks.
Yeah, we had folks from PepsiCo, from I think from Coca-Cola, even from Airbnb, Red Bull, a bunch of companies, and some other more interesting companies, and top marketing people are coming for the second season. The podcast is called People of Marketing, and I interview marketers about the personal side, the human side of being a marketer, about their journey, about their career, what it's like to be a marketer in their specific position or in their specific role, how does it look like, what does their team look like. So really just about the human side of being a marketer and why they got into marketing in the first place. So a very kind of inspirational heart-to-heart conversation.
That's awesome. I just started following it, and I think that's a great approach to talking about the topic of marketing. Zania, I am so happy to have met you and that you decided to spend some time here talking with me today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I had a blast. Thank you.
You did it. You found the way to my heart. You finished an episode of Marketing in the Raw. Thank you so much for doing so. You've done that. You've invested the time to listen to an episode. So why not take it to the next level? The next level is subscribing to the podcast. Wait, you're telling me you've already done that? Wow. Then Have you rated and reviewed the show wherever it was you subscribed to the podcast? Wait, you did that as well? Holy smokes. I love that you did all those things. Let's try this one last thing. Did you share the podcast with somebody? Did you send it to them in an email? Share it on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter? You did? Whoa. Okay. I'm kind of speechless here, but I have to finish the show here. I appreciate that. I love you so much for doing that. Last but not least, if you need anything, go ahead and email me, adam@secretsushi.com, or just check out what we're doing with the agency at secretsushi.com. Take care.